got your shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank, word to Chris Hanks. Before to put it all together, this is big thanks. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This is just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, well homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016, like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never going hard as ever.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Shrimp Tank right here on the Business Radio X Networks. I'm your co-host, Ted Jenkins. Sitting here in just a minute, I'll bring in my co-host, Chris Hanks, who's fresh off of a trip to Greece. And yes, he could take money out of the ATM machine. What do we do right here on the Shrimp Tank? Well, every week we bring you some of the brightest and best CEOs across the state of Georgia. And from time to time, we bring on the young generation. We seem to have a frequent guest here, Joey from KSU, who talk about the businesses that they're creating for the future. Because, of course, that's what entrepreneurship is all about. And we find out how to really run a business and start it and grow it from these CEOs. And we find out whether or not your business will swim or it'll sink on the tank. So, Mr. Hanks, you are back from Greece. We would love to hear from people that have never heard the Shrimp Tank before. You can always get a replay of all of our broadcasts at shrimptankpodcast.com or download us on iTunes and listen to us in the car. Just click Shrimp Tank. You'll hear the shows. Mr. Hanks, who is the executive director and founder at Kennesaw State, blowing up. I was at a board meeting this morning. It's amazing stuff that's going on in there. Was just in a trip, I guess, discussing entrepreneur all the way over in Greece. Is that true?
Yes, absolutely. Did radio in Greece, television show. We did several seminars.
Wait, you did a TV show in Greece?
I did a TV show, which is awkward.
Did you actually have to speak Greek?
No, there was a translator, which made it kind of awkward to find your rhythm, right?
Really?
So yes, absolutely.
What was that like?
So it was awkward. It was tough. It was challenging for me. Greek television Thessaloniki, the station had about a sort of broadcast, so about 1.1 million. Yeah. So anyway, but it was phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. The people in Greece are going through a tremendous crisis. The government controls so much of their life. And so the idea of thinking like an entrepreneur and hey, like getting permission to not, you know, it was almost like they were waiting for permission to start something.
Are you not allowed to just start a business in Greece? You can't just basically file with the local government agency and start a business?
It's very challenging. There's several issues about the government and the control that it has on people and the mindset of the people. Instead of waiting for government to solve problems, say, hey, look, I have permission to actually solve the problems on my own. I can maybe think about creating a job as opposed to waiting for a job to be created for me. And so talking about those kinds of things, and partnering with universities, and there's an institute, and now we're going to have a television show out there on a regular basis, all talking about the entrepreneurial mindset and its power to change lives.
So do people now that you've been there, do you get to go back and tell the kids that are getting this entrepreneurship degree at Kennesaw State, just blowing up in their entrepreneurship program about how great it is to live in this country and the things that you get to do? People complain every day how bad it is in this country, and I hear it on TV every night, and wiretapping this and whatever. It's like, look, you get to get up any day that you want and you can make $1 million if you just put your mind to it, right? And that's a huge difference of living here versus living in Greece.
Yeah, and I tell you what, a trip like that really reminds you of that, because I dealt with so many bright, wonderful young people that just don't have the same opportunities that we do, but they're hungry for it. I've dealt with business owners who are struggling because, you know, they'll start something, then the government, they call it the clawback, where they agree to maybe a certain tax rate, but they seem successful, so they'll ask for more money. And there's not really rules to it. It's just their ability to go out and say, look, you seem to be making a lot of more money. We're going to increase your taxes.
Now, the most important thing is here, did you actually do Ouzo shots?
I did not. No.
You didn't?
No, I should. I did not
you
do
drank
Ouzo
Sambuca,
shots.
Anything like that?
So, Greek wine. I had some Greek wine.
Was
but
it
no,
good?
I did. Yeah, no, it actually was
bad?
Really good.
How about the food?
Food was amazing. Oh my gosh. The whole family style Greek thing, everything fresh. Amazing. Wonderful. Except the eating at 9, 10 o'clock at night was a little bit getting used to.
Yeah. When did they finish? Is it like a 3-hour meal?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Between lunch and dinner. Yeah. You got to squeeze work in there somehow.
It was a skimmed down version of my big fat Greek wedding.
Yeah. Absolutely. It was like that.
Where are we then, you know, would you say compared to other countries when it comes to entrepreneurialism? I mean, are we so far ahead, it's not even funny?
Yeah, you know, and there's certain things that we take for granted in this country as far as the way we think and process things. And in other countries, it's not as obvious. And so that's one of the reasons we really, on this trip, emphasize the whole mindset. You know, because we have the skill set, we have all the best practices of business owners and the how, but really establishing a mindset of, hey, you know, what if we didn't really complain about our lack of resources. Why don't we celebrate the few resources we have and use it to create something? So dealing with kids who come from a village, very poor, but hey, they live near Mount Olympus and they're using those ingredients there to create soaps that they can sell. Government doesn't allow that, but how do we get around that? And so there's all kinds of just tremendous stories that really inspired me and inspired, I came back more convicted about what we do at Kennesaw State and why it matters.
Well, you're listening to the Shrimp Tank right here on the Business Radio X Networks. If you've ever been down in Sandy Spring and check out this studio, ever wanted to host a show or be on a show, is a great place to do it. A phenomenal studio here. Look, every week we bring you some great business owners. We're going to bring on one of our guests today, Mr. Hanneman, in just a minute. When you talk about an entrepreneur that's come here and really blown it up, you're going to hear a great story today. I was curious before we did that, and I'll ask Chris and our guest, Joey Roos, who's at KSU. He's in the entrepreneurship program. He's got actually a business that's up and running already. What's going on with this whole KSU 100? My understanding is that at the board meeting today that things are whittling down and we're going to get an entrepreneur who's going to win a lot of cash and money soon.
Yeah, we are down to 12. So what's 12 awkward students? About this competition is everybody gets eliminated except one. You know, only one person survives and only one person doesn't get cut. And so that's challenging because there's a lot of great students. In fact, I had to do a lot of discussion with students when I first got back from Greece because, you know, they put a lot of work into their businesses and their dreams and then they didn't make it to the final 12. Yeah, and that's always hard to take. But hey, Google was told 17 times no before they got the yes. I mean, this is just part of the entrepreneurial journey. And, you know, you've got to embrace failure as opposed to have that keep you from holding you back from your dreams. So teaching students that the mindset, hey, it's not a failure depending on what you're committed to. And as long as you learn.
Joey, how do you win this thing? I think you're down to the final 12 now. How do you, besides getting like Lee Heisman as a coach, which seems to be the inside track to becoming a winner.
Yeah, smart move there, Joey.
Yeah, thank you.
In some cases, Chris. Not in all cases.
Really?
It's not smart. Yeah. I'd say maybe
for
winning.
I noticed he didn't really hit you up, though, for mentorship. He didn't really kind of solicit you. You went to Lee. Any particular reason you chose Lee over Ted?
Well, I mean, Ted, I would be honored to have you mentor me as well. We can do a little tag team action. That would be fantastic.
Well, Lee and I have tag teamed once or twice before, but you know what? We'd be happy to help out where we can.
Fantastic. I know that Lee has a very successful history with the KSU Top 100, and so when the opportunity arose to go and advance to the Top 12, he was in the room at the time, and we agreed that we'd be a good fit. So
very solid.
Success leaves clues, Joey. Mm-hmm. So you can always remember that.
Yes, sir.
Success leaves clues. I like that. Hashtag success leaves clues. We're going to have that,
make that
on
trending
here today. Well, let's bring in our guest today. As I said, you know, on the Shrimp Tank, you've got to hear, we were literally about 100 shows now, and we've had some of the brightest and best CEOs all across the state of Georgia. The guests we had a few weeks ago who were actually at Kennesaw State, Sammy and Ben Amore, actually have 6 vape shops, and their video has gone viral on YouTube. Over 41,000 views of their video just on this show. Just amazing stuff. Who thought you could make that much money selling a bunch of glass pipes in Georgia, even though marijuana is not even legal? So you're just selling the juice. It's amazing stuff. So we're going to bring in Mr. Hanneman today, who I know and I've met. And every time I sit with him, I get more impressed because he is a soft-spoken gentleman, but he carries a big stick. He literally has 11 businesses. When you talk about this idea of being an entrepreneur, he's in all kinds of stuff. I wonder sometimes if he's told me exactly all the stuff that he's involved in. But I do know this, it's been incredibly successful. Everything he touched has turned to gold. So I wanted to open up, and I know that your big business is in IT staffing and that you literally have hundreds of employees. And so how did you get involved in wanting to do an IT staffing business? How did the business even come about?
Thank you, Ted. I came to America in 1993, So I worked as a software engineer for 11 years. In 2003, so I realized there is a lot of potential in help desk systems applications. So I started training the students with minimal fees. Then I realized there are a lot of opportunities and a lot of requirements in the IT industry. Then I brought a lot of people from India who are specialized in very experienced people with help desk systems and CRM tools. Then I opened my company. So company started growing. When it reached 30 employees, then I resigned my job, full-time job. I was working as a team lead in Regions Bank in Montgomery, Alabama. Then I left the job. Then I became full-time employee. And it worked out very well. Then once the company reached, and I moved to Atlanta, because Atlanta is a big place, there I can grow bigger. Now, and with God's grace, now it's 550 employees.
You have 550 employees.
550 employees.
That is amazing.
And it's generating more than $50 million. And
$50 million of sales.
Yes. Yeah.
That is amazing.
It's growing good. And
it's going good. I like that.
Every year we are expanding and the economy is really good. Since 2009, once the real estate crash came, after that, the economy is really doing wonderful. Every year, I see a lot of demand in the software engineers. A lot of tech guys needed to support this growing economy. Definitely, I see a lot of potential in IT industry every year. So that's how we keep on expanding. And we opened the branches in all over USA, in Fremont, St. Louis, Missouri, and Houston, Texas, New Jersey, Boston. We open all the branches. And we expanded into all the areas like, mobile applications, cloud computing services, big data, and the social networking and the data analytics. We open all kinds of platforms. I think economy is really doing good. And we have a lot of opportunities in IT industry, especially youngsters with cutting edge technologies. There are a lot of positions, a lot of openings in the market right now.
Yeah. So, to go from zero to 550 employees, I mean, that's something that most business owners never do. What was the most significant roadblocks or to get you from nothing to something that large? What was the most significant roadblock to get there?
Basically, we need to identify what niche technologies in the market. So every day, software is keep evolving. There are new stuff is coming in. We need to observe that. We need to get trained in that areas. So always R&D has a lot of positions open. Already existing market, a lot of competitions. But in niche technologies, there are a lot of openings, even today. Google needs a lot of, right now, IoT or near field applications or artificial intelligence is going a lot of demand. I see hundreds of positions keep coming into me. So we are working software licensing we're taking. We're training those people, especially graduate students. We are hiring them every day and training them. So in the cutting edge niche technologies, I see a lot of demand even today. So we need to identify those special sectors where a lot of growth is there. Then we can expand further.
Love that. Yeah, finding your niche. You mentioned earlier having a full-time job until your own company grew to 30 employees. If you could go back, do you think you would have left your full-time job earlier so that you could have grown your business faster?
Yes, I think around 10 to 15 employees, I should have left, but still I'm not regretting.
Sure.
Even 30 employees, me and my wife supported a lot. I've been working 18, 19 hours a day, sleeping very few hours.
Wow.
To maintain full-time job and maintaining all these candidates. So it wonderfully worked. Definitely, in this, because that time we never know what is going to happen. So uncertainty to keep that. So I resigned a little later.
Now with 550 employees, I mean, it's a wonder you're not drinking every day. I really wonder at that level, because you're at a different kind of company than the basic entrepreneur that has
Absolutely.
Five or 10 employees, where you can basically feel the employees every day. You can talk to them. They call it that management by walking around. You can really do that in a small company. At your level right now, how do you keep the culture going where people have the values that you've tried to instill in your original employees and maintain the culture of the organization as you grow to that kind of size? Because 550 people is a gigantic company.
You're no longer a small business, or considered by most an entrepreneurial business at 550. Right.
Yeah, definitely we reward them, you know, giving more incentives, and we promote them, the older employees. We have to make them happy. So keep growing that way. Definitely we, you know, give the opportunities to grow themselves as well, the existing employees.
And when you say grow, do you have them for professional development now? Do they ever get a chance to have lunch with the CEO? I mean, is there anything like that where they get access to know that you're the... You're sort of the man behind everything?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yearly, two times I meet them personally, even though wherever they go.
Wow.
Yeah, they travel to all the clients. Definitely, we meet them whenever I get a chance.
Hmm. Is there any particular point in time where you saw a culture shift in the organization as you're growing?
Yeah, definitely growing pains, a lot of growing pains when smaller to mid-sized companies, you know, so I had to hire more hierarchy, middle management. So a lot of issues came around compared to small to bigger size companies. So, and you know,
yeah,
we learned all those things.
Yeah, because like studies have shown like 70 seems to be that number where culture really dramatically shifts as you're growing. I mean, did you notice that?
Or, absolutely. 50 to 100. Yeah. Once you reach it to 50 to 100, I see a lot of pains. So I have to hire more middle management, VP level guys. So... You know, we have to focus on the organizational structure.
Yeah.
Nice. I know we were talking in class this past Tuesday on how to go about finding those quality people in the interview process, what that should look like, because the cost of hiring and then having to fire someone is so high. So I was wondering, maybe what is the most unique interview tactic or strategy you've ever tried to judge the character of a potential employee?
Yeah, absolutely. No, we have to verify their, you know, educational backgrounds, experiences. Sure. We have to do thorough background verifications.
Mm-hmm.
Same time, we do, you know, interviews. You know, we have to identify how he's experienced and special in that area.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do any of those strange questions that Google was famous for, like, you know, if you had to rob something, would it be a flower shop, a pizza restaurant, or a... you know, a jewelry store.
Right. Yeah. If you were a street sign, what street sign would you be?
Yeah. Yeah. None of those strange ones. You don't ask any of those.
I know the best one I ever heard from Google at all the times. They said, if you had to take a guess of how many gas stations there are in the United States, how many would you guess and why?
Yeah.
See, that one actually makes more sense to me than the which would you rob.
It has some deductive reasoning
to it. Yeah.
I guess, you know, one of the interesting questions I wanted to ask you about your business, because I do know a little bit about it, is that I know that you've got certain people in your organizations that works in this country, and you have other people that work in your organization that do not work in this country. And so how do you manage that kind of volume where you have to deal with people that you literally, if you have to go back to another country, you may not see them for 3 or 6 months, yet they still have to deliver the performance that you expect from your organization?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, all H1 candidates, I prefer to hire more H1B students, H1B candidates. They work very hard, you know, because otherwise, you know, they cannot get green card or citizenship sponsorships. So they run around, they make sure that they deliver in time. You know, we have the immigration tool where we can push them harder. They can travel to all over USA. So they're very helpful. All H1B.
I see you smile when you say that. Push them harder. I like that.
That's the only way it works, because, you know, cutting edge niche technology, they have to learn new updates, new versions of the software. Same time, they have to deliver at the clients. They're under very high pressure.
But is that more expensive? Because I thought some companies would stay away from that, because you have to sponsor somebody, that can increase your costs.
Yeah, because of, you know, very high experience and very niche technology with a master's degree, they are, you know, high paid hourly rates.
Right.
Yeah, so definitely we pay them well and we absorb all the immigration costs.
Yeah, so you'll take on those costs, which increase your costs that you have to pass on your clients.
Exactly.
Hey, you listen to the Shrimp Tank right here on the Business Radio X Networks. We come to you live every Thursday, 11:30 to 12:30 in the beautiful studios here in Sandy Springs. You ought to come down at some point and see them. It's amazing stuff. Maybe you get on a show. Maybe you host a show one day. You can always hear a replay of all of our broadcasts on ShrimpTankPodcast.com or download us on iTunes. What are you going to listen to in the car? You don't want to listen to terrestrial radio anymore. You hear more stupid games that they have on there and the news shows, and it's a bunch of garbage today. This is the kind of radio that you want to hear. You like that. I just trashed every radio station here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
That's what I live for, you know, Hanks. I just want to make you laugh on this show. So I'm Ted Jenkin, your co-host, and here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, is the executive director and founder of the Booming program at the Shore Center for Entrepreneurship at Kennesaw State. This amazing stuff that's going on there, because you realize all of you that are trying to become entrepreneurs or entrepreneurs are trying to get better, or you have your children, you have to ask yourself, what is their future going to be like? Is it going to be what they're doing with the ninth graders in high school today, which is pounding them for AP courses and telling them if they don't get into the right college, their future is going to be over, their career is going to be over? Or Chris has been teaching this thing, and I learned a little bit more this morning about the entrepreneurial mindset. Do you want to encourage their mindset of how they're going to succeed in the future? And so I want to ask you, because we didn't get to touch on the break, and then we'll go through our Hot or Not segment with Mr. Hanuman. What is this whole concept of this entrepreneurial mindset? What is that?
So for us to get different results, we first have to change how we think, you know, and then we can change how we act. And if people start thinking of themselves like entrepreneurs, regardless of who they work for, they're going to get better results. Like, hey, I'm a brand regardless of who employs me. I have a profit and loss statement as a person.
That's right.
And so teaching students to think about that, like, and there's all kinds of things about the mindset that we deconstruct. And here's just a quick example, because this is, you know, hours and hours of lecture. But, you know, if we just change the word I deserve, or the phrase I deserve, to I'm responsible, what kind of change would that be in your life?
Yeah.
You know, when people say I deserve a job. No, what if you're responsible for either creating a job or finding a job? You know, I'm responsible for creating enough value for somebody else so that I can get hired. See, when we just change the way we view that, like, no, you don't deserve, you're responsible.
It's funny you say that, because one of my very first bosses, who has written many books now, like Daniel Goleman on emotional intelligence, he has wrote a book called Social Intelligence. He said, you can make success when you get into delivering yourself first party non-negotiables. And a first party non-negotiable is I must do. Once you have those three words that I must do, I means you, must is going to happen, and do means take action. And you have those first party non-negotiable actions, stuff happens.
Yeah.
Otherwise, everything else is an excuse.
Absolutely.
You know, and yeah. I love that mindset. I just love hearing about that.
Yeah, the mindset matters. Then we get into skill set. I'm not saying skill set's not important, but first, like, I would rather hire somebody with the right mindset and then train the skill set.
Right.
You know, so the mindset matters the most in teaching young people to think of themselves differently. Then we get into the how, and then their how. You know, students tend to learn on a need to know basis. Now they have a need to know, but we first focus on the why, then the how follows.
Well, we're sitting here with Mr. Hanuman today and Joey Ruse from KSU, Chris Hanks, along with me, Ted Jenkin. And we're going to get to our section now that we call Hot or Not. You know, Mr. Hanuman, with 11 businesses and just learning this morning, I knew it was big last time we sat down in terms of a business, but 550 employees and 50 million. Most of you that are listening, if you could only dream to get to that kind of level, that's just, I mean, there's a difference between getting to a business that cracks $1 million in revenue and one that cracks 10 million. And then at his level of 50 million, it's amazing stuff. So in this Hot or Not section, I guess, since we're talking about this mindset, would you rather hire employees that are talented, or would you rather have ones that are coachable? If you had to make that fork in the road, knowing that you could not get both, obviously both being the best, what would you rather have?
Who are mindset, we can train them.
So the coachable ones.
Coachable ones, definitely.
I like that. Yeah, it makes sense to me, because sometimes you can't coach talent.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely. So what about lifestyle business, or what you did, growth business?
Growth business.
And why?
Because we like to grow.
But that implies a lot more headaches, a lot more stress, a lot more sacrifice.
Yeah, initially we have to do that. Every business to grow, we need to put a lot of efforts. And once it grows, then you can streamline, you can offload all the work, you can delegate the work. You know, initially we have to sacrifice personal time and family time. So that's why 20s, 30s is the best time to grow any entrepreneurship. But once you grow, I mean, your family responsibilities will keep coming in. You won't get an opportunity. So definitely growth initially.
Yeah.
Interesting. I've heard some famous CEOs talk about how they work 110% all through the week, but then take one day a week off and do absolutely nothing. So obviously you have to hustle at the beginning. But would you say hot or not taking like an entire day off periodically to recharge?
Oh, absolutely. We need some time off. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you know, we cannot think better way.
Yeah.
So every manager needs 2 or 3 weeks off so that he will get refreshed.
So you say 2 or 3 weeks off?
Per year.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Per year.
Yeah. Yeah, weekly one day I take off.
Yeah.
God.
Weekly one day I take off completely.
Mm-hmm. So one day a week?
One day a week.
Yeah.
So remaining 6 days, I put a lot of efforts, like 17 hours, 18 hours. Oh. Now I stopped all that, you know. For first 3 to 4 years, I put a lot of efforts. Now I think I slow down myself. Mm. Now a lot of people we hired and I can delegate the work and they can take care of it. You know, now I hardly put 4 to 6 hours.
Wow.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. That's the American dream right there, you know, from 1993 to today. Now, you have 11 businesses. So is it a hot or not to have a business plan for every business?
Oh, absolutely. We need a business plan.
So do you write the business plans or do you do it as a team?
We have people. Initially, first of all, one or two companies I used to sit. I used to analyze and I have the managers. But slowly, you know, we know what to do and it built pretty quickly. So we know the rhythm, how to create a business plan. One or two is tough.
So hot or not, owning multiple businesses or focusing on one and growing it?
Depending on the opportunities. You know, sometimes one company can grow very faster, but different people, different partners, I tied up with the different companies. So that's how I grow bigger. You know, so depending on the opportunities, we cannot say one is better than other. Each people will have different opportunities. But focusing on one, making bigger is definitely is good.
How about a hot or not? Do you fund your businesses out of cash flow or is it better to leverage the bank's money?
Definitely bank's money, leveraging. Always do business with banks and, you know, other people. Keep your money outside.
Interesting. We talked about culture a little bit earlier. Would you say a hot or not having company branded dress code?
Dress code, it used to be, but now we have to be very flexible in computer industry. Mm. You know, all high-tech guys, they want to be very liberal, freedom, flexible, and they want to work from home. You know, we allow them everything. You know, we focus on the delivering the, you know, software. You know, whether they work from home or they work come to the office, whether they are in shorts or suits, does not matter. So freedom at a higher level is much comfortable.
You know, Joey, Lee and I actually had a chance this week. One of the guests that we had on a few weeks ago, who is the owner of the Great American Cookie Company, Lee and I actually had to go. And we didn't have to go, but we went. And we toured the Great American Cookie Company, and we both had to wear dress. They made us wear hairnets. Fortunately, Lee and I did not have to wear the beard net. But the fact is, the guy that took us around, his name is Raphael. We both had lab coats that said Raphael, so that's what they called us when we went through the thing. But it was just amazing, amazing stuff. You realize how hard some jobs are. That one job in there was a guy that held a 25-pound, it looked like a rake, and he literally raked cookie dough out of a bin for 8 hours a day. That's what he did all day. Can you imagine? I don't want to rake my lawn for 3 minutes, let alone rake cookie dough for 8 hours. It was, I mean, it was amazing stuff. But I think, you know, for people that have never... you know, a lot of people want to meet business owners that are successful. Hey, let me take you out to lunch. Like, hey, let me go for a cup of coffee. The best thing in the world I could tell any of you that are listening today, go to the business. Ask the business owner to take you for a tour of their life or spend a half a day and shadow a half a day with them, because a cup of coffee is going to get you nothing. Once I went in there, the respect I had, and I think Lee would probably concur that the respect that you have for this gentleman running pretzel maker and hot dog on a stick. And when I've seen Mr. Hanneman's operations, it's crazy. The respect you have for the kinds of things that an entrepreneur has to juggle is just amazing. So very, very cool stuff. Well, every segment and every show, we get to our third and final segment where we basically do a plead the fifth. I'm going to start off with a really uncomfortable one in just a minute for Mr. Hanneman, but I want to tell you, listen to the Shrimp Tank right here on the Business Radio X Networks. My name is Ted Jenkin, your co-host, sitting here with the executive director and founder of the Shore Center for Entrepreneurship. I actually saw Mr. Shore this morning. Such a nice gentleman. Amazing,
he is a nice guy.
Amazing gentleman. And an amazing board there now at Kennesaw State of Entrepreneurs. And of course, almost every show now, it seems to be that we've got a student on from Kennesaw State. We not only have a student, but a student entrepreneur who's in the final 12 of the KSU 100, Joey Roos. Hopefully he can win. I know he's got some very tough competition in there.
He does. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it gets tougher and tougher, right? Final 12.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Makes you better, though.
Yeah, my, you know, my advice is that Mr. Heisman, if you can buy him health products and things like that, he'll work even harder for you.
There you go. Like we went to Tropical Smoothie this morning. So
this is good. He likes that place. You should have a frequent tropical smoothie card there or something like that. But here's just interesting, is a plead the fifth in here. You know, I've been listening to radio for a lot of years here in America, and for some reason, American radio people like to imitate Indian voices.
Oh.
And you hear that a lot, and they think they could do it. So I guess I have two questions here. One is, on radio in India, do they imitate American voices? I just wonder if they're on there. I wonder if they're on there like some cowboy out here, like, hey, y'all, come down here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's a fun.
Wow.
Recently, a lot of imitating with the Trump voice.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, there are Indian guys in India that can do the Trump voice?
Oh, yeah.
They do it well?
Oh, that's awesome.
Wow.
That's great.
That's huge.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. They talk about how huge everything's going to be, how huge. Yeah. They say that a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah.
Oh, man.
They enjoy it.
Classic. That's amazing.
His voice and his, shifting his face and feelings.
Wow. Okay, so as far as a plead the fifth, what is your biggest failure as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, definitely, hiring right people sometimes is a big problem. You know, the middle management, you depend on them, how it's going on. So I got failed sometimes, not hiring right people.
Yeah.
That's where you get the experience and sometimes you slow down. They may not be putting hard time and royal or trustworthy and, sincere people. Lack of those good quality people, I think you will slow down sometimes. Mm-hmm. And you will try to learn from your experience. Then again, you will grow the company.
Yeah.
This is a classic Chris Hanks question, but I absolutely love it. Being in so many industries as you have been, and I'm sure you've heard a lot of different advice from a lot of different business leaders on how to be effective in running a successful business. But what do you think is the worst piece of entrepreneurial advice that you've ever received in your career?
Worst? I'm not sure. I never heard that.
Yeah. Is there any sort of popular wisdom that people say, oh, you must always have experience before you do something or anything like that? Any popular sort of
entrepreneurship cliches
that you kind of go, no, I don't believe that.
Is this like the Confucius say, don't fly upside down, that kind of thing?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, sometimes slowly, they say that economy is going to crash or I believe in my hard work. I believe in my forecasting. So I see the potential in some areas. Even the market is saying, definitely artificial intelligence may not be working in that platform, but I believe in that, since I developed some software applications. So sometimes I have to go against what market trend is moving on. That's what, I believe in that.
Nice. So how about a plead the fifth? My understanding is there are kids that are under the age of 10 in India that actually get Microsoft certified. Is that fact?
Yes. A lot of kids, in high schools, even 9th and 10th grade, they're working with the C++, all databases, SQL Server. They all know, earlier they teach very good. Nowadays, all the high school kids, they're very good programmers in India, So they get certified too early. Not in below 10th grade, but definitely now, 12th grade or, first year freshman of undergrad, they get all kinds of certifications.
Now, plead the fifth on this. You're on here today and you look very dapper today, I must say. So how many times do you actually wear a jacket?
Sometimes.
Now, our friend Cesar had that teed up for me. He said, Mr. Hanneman doesn't wear a jacket very often, but yes. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you're past the point of needing to, right? You're now at a success level where, I guess you don't have to throw on a jacket and try to convince the bank to give you more money or anything like that.
Yeah, because they see my numbers. Yeah, they don't see my jacket.
Yeah, they want to see your profit and loss statement, not your jacket.
That's
right?
Where the employees come in, they say, why aren't you wearing a jacket, boss? 549 employees.
Exactly.
Everybody else, 548. Yeah. Yeah, we can keep going.
Yeah. Initially I used to wear more oftenly, but now I don't need, once they see my numbers, I think they will be okay.
Yeah. All right, let's take one more, Joe. You got one more plate to take for Mr.
So plead the fifth, don't have to answer, but what would you say is the most attractive industry that you're considering going into next?
Definitely in the IT industry is a lot of platforms, as I said, you know, mobile applications, big data, cloud computing, social networking. Out of all these, you know, IoT and near field applications, you know, intelligence is a lot of growing area. So I'm looking to acquire a few companies in the next 12 months or 24 months, and I want to put more money in the in those platforms. I see tons of money in that area and a lot of venture capitalists, and they are ready to put more money in the IoT and the near field communications, especially intelligence, business intelligence area. So I see a lot of potential in that area.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Hanneman, this is a great interview today. I don't know if we've had a company on yet as large as yours to date. So this is amazing stuff, and amazing, like I said in the beginning, how humble of a gentleman that you are. And I'm amazed at how you keep your stress level so low with that many employees. It's amazing stuff.
I do a lot of meditations every day.
A lot of meditation, for real, yeah.
Yeah, real.
Every you have day. A meditation app that you use?
No, I have a. I follow one guru, one teacher. So every day morning, minimum 1 hour, and evening time, half an hour, I do meditation. Morning, 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock, and evening, 9:30 to 10, before go to bed. That's what keeps me more, you know, calm and cool and stress level. Otherwise, I cannot handle. You know, if I don't do meditation in the morning, I feel very stressed out whole day.
Well, we definitely have to tackle that in the post-show wrap-up. For people that are listening to the show today, and they either A, they want to get into the IT field and may be able to use your company, or they may want to come to work for you because your companies are growing. How can somebody get in touch with you, learn more about your companies, and see if they become a part of your organization?
I can provide my telephone number or my email ID. I like to meet any fresh graduates who are coming out of the Kennesaw State University or Georgia Tech Universities. We are hiring many people every month.
And the website is svksystems.com?
svksystems.com.
SV as in Victor, svksystems.com.
Correct. Hanuman at svksystems.com.
Well, this is a really, really great stuff today. We appreciate you having on. Stay on. We're going to do our post-show wrap-up when we come back. Next week here on The Shrimp Tank, how would you like to have a business that literally you get to sell to a publicly traded company? We're going to have on Chow Nguyen next week, who basically sold their company to Chegg, a publicly traded company. It's going to be amazing stuff next week right here on The Shrimp Tank. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.